Welcome to Leading Lights. You are about to hear a message from Lighthouse Church.
Hello there. I'd like to talk to you about blessing and cursing and how we can be healed on the inside. You know, there is an amazing couple of verses right at the beginning of the Bible which talk about blessing and cursing. The first time the word blessing is mentioned and the first time the word cursing is mentioned. So blessing is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. It says, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" God blessed them. So the word blessing means for God to put his multiplying life upon us or upon a thing. When God blesses, he says, "I am giving you the power to grow, to succeed, to multiply, to win, to have dominion." God's blessing, his power, his favor, his miracle, life-giving, abundant power is upon us. That's what blessing means. Another person has said it means to empower to succeed or to empower to prosper. That's blessing, health, healing, wellness, acceptance, love, blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. In the New Testament, the word blessing is the Greek word eulogia, where we get our word eulogy from. And a eulogy is normally spoken after a person has died at a funeral where we speak well of them. Eulogia, blessing, means we speak well of them before they've died. And God's intention was that he gives blessing, but then also that people bless other people, particularly parents bless their children. The context of this first time blessing is spoken is multiply, fill the earth. And God wanted them to have children and for that blessing to pour not just on them, but through them to their children and to everything they touched, the land that they were working and the whole earth. They were to spread and extend God's blessing and his prosperity. Blessing. Have you got it? Blessing. God's intention is blessing. And in the Hebrew culture, there were seven times in a person's life when it was almost mandated that they should get a blessing. When they were conceived, when they were in the womb, when they were born, when they were early children, infancy, when they were teenagers, and then when they got married, and then in their old age. There were times of blessing built into society and into life. And the intention was that parents and the community would bless, bless, bless. And God's power would flow through those words of blessing and produce life. Blessing is God's intention, and it helps us and it protects us from the devil. So the flip side of this is there was a devil and there is a devil who doesn't want life, who doesn't want prosperity, who doesn't want success, growth, children, all those different things. No, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so instead of the blessing being spoken and truth and life and the supernatural power and life of God coming in, he wants to do the opposite of that. And that's what cursing is. And so when Adam and Eve believed the devil and trusted that he wanted their best interests instead of God, they were cut off from many of God's blessings. And God then pronounced the consequences. In Genesis 3 verse 14, he says, "So the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" So cursing came as a result. A definition of cursing could be to cut off from this life-giving blessing of God. And the result is we start to shrink and die. We get smaller, we get sadder, we get sicker. Things don't work so well. And it simply means to remove the life of God. Now you say, how is that relevant to me? Well, a lot of time has passed since Adam and Eve, but it speaks of their children, their multiplying seed. In both of these verses, it speaks about their seed, their offspring, and we are those offspring. We've inherited this need for blessing, because God made us to be blessed by Him and to be blessing our children and blessing each other. We've inherited the need for blessing, but we've also inherited this cut-off cursedness that all of creation experienced because Adam and Eve turned away from God's life. And what happens now is that instead of blessing, we find cursing happens all the time. You may say to me, I don't remember ever cursing anyone. I've never put a spell on anyone. I don't think I've ever said a curse to somebody. But when we say negative words, when we accuse, when we demean, when we say somebody is worth less, or we treat them as worth less than us or worth less than other people, we are, in effect, removing God's blessing and cursing. And unfortunately, children experience this the worst. You know, those first 4 or 5 years of your life, you don't remember them, but amazing experiences were happening in your life in those first 4 or 5 years of your life that affected you deep down inside. The Bible doesn't use the word subconscious, but it talks about the heart, and it talks about things going on, the intents of our heart, the deep things of our heart. And hidden in your heart are all these experiences you learned as a very small child. And then from about the age of 4 or 5, you do have certain memories, and there will be painful memories. If I said to you, what was your earliest memory of your life? Most people will say it was this painful thing that happened to me, because we experience these pains. Either terrible calamities happen, or pains or diseases, or people are horrible to us. And we remember those. And those often bring about a curse. You say to me, what are you talking about, Greg? Well, what it does is it causes a pain, and we then accept some negative words that have been spoken to us, or we jump to negative conclusions about ourselves or about the world or about people around us. And those are, in effect, curses. They are things that make us believe the world is not good. People are not good. I am not good. My future is not good. There's something wrong with me. There's something different about me. I'm damaged goods. And we form these ideas in our minds. And this verse here, Genesis 3 verse 14, says, God is talking in advance about what will happen. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity means hatred or war. And the devil is against human beings. He may promise us good things. He may say, if you will just sin, you'll have happiness. If you'll just take this drug or sleep with all these people or try and do this illegal or immoral thing, then you'll be happy. But actually, he wants to destroy us. There's enmity, and he tricks us because he is a sneaky snake. But it goes on to say, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. In other words, the devil has offspring. What are the offspring? Well, all the demons that he affected when all the angels fell out of heaven and there were spiritual beings, some that turned against God, those are his seed. But also when people believe the devil's lies, Jesus said they are of their father, the devil. So he has offspring, and it says that his offspring are fighting against God's children. Now, human beings are made as God's children, but often we allow ourselves to believe the devil's lies, and so we're a bit of a mixture of both. But it says there's this enmity, and then it says that the devil, in verse 15, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What it's talking about is the devil will try to bruise the offspring of the woman's heel, bruise or wound or hurt or attack. But this offspring, this seed, will bruise or hurt or kill his head. You know, when you get bruised on the heel, it's painful, but it's not the end of your life. But if you get bruised on the head, it often is the end of your life. And it says that the seed, and it's a singular seed in this particular case, that one of the woman's offspring will bruise or wound fatally the devil's head, but the devil will try to bruise or hurt his heel. And we see in here this principle that all in all, over the whole, the universal family of humanity, the devil is trying to hurt the children of human beings. And he uses bruises because he didn't know which one of Eve's children would be the one that would hurt him in the head. And so he just hurts all children. And the devil loves to try and hurt young people. And this bruising idea is such an illustrative word because it talks about a wound that is hidden under the skin, but it is very painful, especially when you touch it or you poke it. There's pain there, and it hinders you in doing your daily life. It's a wound that's on the inside. It can't be clearly seen, but it's an internal injury. The devil tries to wound and bruise. What happens is when children, especially, but also even up into adulthood, when people experience pain and trauma, unexpected tragedies, when people speak negative words and words that attack their identity and their future purpose, the bruise that is caused, the devil then uses that to implant a lie, because lying is his main weapon. John chapter 8, Jesus said that when he lies, he speaks of his own resources, or he speaks his native language, because he's the father of all lies, and he's a murderer, the Bible says. So what he does is he gets in there when there's a pain and he implants a lie, and he says to you, you are worthless. You are different from other people. You are damaged goods. Not just you have done wrong, there is something wrong with you. And you are not going to be able to come right, and your future is bad. And these are the lies that the devil is putting in. They're the bruises that he loves to use. But God had a plan. God said, one day, one of Eve's children, the seed of the woman, will come, and he will bruise or wound fatally the devil's head. Now, the devil knew this was coming, but he still just keeps going with bruising and wounding. And I want to show you what the Bible says about what Jesus did. In Isaiah 53, I'm just going to read a few verses. It says in verse 1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" It starts off by saying, who has believed this? Whoever has believed this will have seen the arm or the strength or the help or the salvation of the Lord. So believing is the first point. And then it says, verse 4, "Surely he," talking about this seed, this Messiah, this child of Eve who was going to come and destroy the devil, "surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." So it says that he bore or carried our griefs and our sorrows. He carried them. So the first thing he did is he took on a bruising. He carried our bruises, our griefs and our sorrows, because bruising is referring to physical sickness and pain, but it's also referring to emotional and mental bruising and sorrows and griefs. You know, these Hebrew words, griefs and sorrows, in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, they are translated infirmities and sicknesses. And in fact, this word griefs is translated sicknesses every other place in the Old Testament. And in Matthew chapter 8, it quotes this verse talking about Jesus, and it says he was fulfilling Isaiah in that he healed our sicknesses and our infirmities. So he bore our bruises, our weakness, our griefs, and our sorrows. And then it goes on to more explanation of how he did this. This is the seed of the woman. This is the one that the devil is trying to bruise his heel as much as he can, and trying to put lies and pain and anguish and attacks on him. And it says in verse 5, Jesus, "but he was wounded for our transgressions." Other versions say pierced for our transgressions. So when he hung on the cross, every wound that he experienced, and there were the wounds from the whips, there were the wounds from the crown of thorns in his head, there were the wounds from being hit with sticks, being punched with fists, and having his beard ripped out of his face. There were the wounds from the nails through his hands and his feet. There were the wounds from the spear plunged into his side that pierced all the way into his heart. All of those wounds, and there were hundreds and hundreds of them all over his body. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgression is when we sin, we break God's law, but it's usually because we first believed a lie that the devil has told us this is the best way to go. And we usually believe the lie because of a bruise, a pain that was caused by something else, maybe by the devil, maybe by another person, maybe by our parents. But there's a bruise, there's a lie, there's a transgression. And the transgression causes us to then be in the devil's playground, because when we sin, we're in his territory. That's where he loves us to be. And Jesus was wounded for those transgressions. So now I can legally say, yes, devil, I have sinned. You're right. I have lied. I have lusted. I have been angry, bitter, prideful, all these different things. Yes, you're right. I have transgressions. But the wounding, the bruising that I deserve, Jesus took it. Goes on to say, he was bruised for our iniquities. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Other versions say crushed for our iniquities. You know, all those internal injuries that Jesus experienced, underneath his skin, there would have been even more damage, internal organs damaged. And his mind and his emotions. He was rejected by humanity. For a time, God the Father turned his face away from him because he had all the sin of the world on him. The emotional anguish, the night before he was crucified, he was sweating blood just from the emotion of it. And it says he was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. Now that word iniquities, you might think transgressions and iniquities are the same thing. There's different words for different sins. And this word iniquities means having a tendency to sin. It comes from a word meaning bent. And it means we have a bent towards sin. We want to sin and we don't even know why. And Lamentations says, our fathers have sinned and we have inherited their iniquities. There is a passed downness of sin where I inherit sins from my ancestors and from my parents and grandparents. Sometimes they have made agreements with the devil where they've agreed with the devil that they're going to do something. And we inherit those. Sometimes it's just sin that they lived in and we find ourselves wanting to do those sins. Those are iniquities. And Jesus was bruised and crushed for those. He paid the price for that to be completely wiped away. Isn't that amazing? It says the chastisement for our peace was upon him, the punishment. So if you like, God says, yes, there's this terrible curse, but I am going to make a way out of it by saying if this punishment happens, then it's completely washed away. That chastisement or punishment of death, Jesus took it, not for himself because he had never sinned, for everybody else in the world. The chastisement of our peace, shalom, well-being, rest. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with myself. I'm clean and just as if I'd never sinned. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. When he was on that cross, it wasn't just a tragic event. No, God was working out a plan for us to have peace and forgiveness. And then by his wounds, we are healed, or by his stripes, we are healed. Stripes speaks of bruising or where the skin has been broken. But it's both. It's a catch-all phrase for all of these wounds. By his stripes and wounds, we are healed physically, emotionally, mentally. That's what Jesus did. Now, that is God's rescue plan. And what he does is, as the doctor, God comes to us, the great physician. He calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer, the great physician. He comes with a cure. He says, yes, there has been a curse. Yes, you are inheriting sin. Yes, you have participated in it yourself. Yes, the devil has got all sorts of footholds in your life. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks about giving the devil a foothold or a place or an anchor place in your life. It says, be angry, but do not sin, and do not give the devil a place or a foothold. When we sin, we give the devil a foothold. But this says that all of those can be washed away. The consequences of our sin, the penalty for our sin, the damage, the emotional weakness, the mental anguish, all of these things that have come through sin, the bruising that right from the start the devil was trying to inflict on humanity, the enmity between humans and the enemy. All of that can be washed away, and it has been paid for. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said an interesting word in Greek. It's tetelestai, and it means it is finished, or it is paid in full. It was one of the last words he said. He said, it is finished. It is paid in full. What he was saying is there is no more punishment that you have to take. You don't need to experience this pain, this wounding, this penalty, this terrible power of sin over your life. You can be free. But what we need to do is three things. The first thing is, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 1 of this chapter. Who has believed? The first thing is, I've got to see the cure. I go to the doctor and he says, here's the cure. And he gives me the medicine. I've got to see it and receive it. I've got to believe it. I've got to say, yes, I believe it. Who has believed our report? To him the arm of the Lord has been revealed. God's strength and healing has been revealed. Jesus' sacrifice. I've got to say, Lord Jesus, when you were dying on that cross, you had eyes of love for me. You had me in your mind. You were completely paying the price for my bruising, my wounding, my healing. I receive it. I understand it. I accept it. Lord, you did it. Thank you. And you might think that that's just a mental exercise, and you might think that doesn't make any difference. I want to tell you, it makes a massive difference. It makes a massive difference. As it sinks into your mind, it starts to sink down into your heart, and you start to say, wow, God has done this for me. Gratitude starts to come out. Love starts to come out. Worship starts to come out. You start to say, wow, I am now accepted. I'm a child of God. And as we read his word, it unfolds more and more, and we see the blessings that he's given us, and his intentions for us and his good plans for us. And it starts to seep in. So receive is the first thing, or believe. It's just accepting what God has done and resting in that and letting it just soak into your heart and mind. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Receive it, believe it. The second thing is then, obviously, we need to change, because we've been acting out of bruising, lies, sins. Bruising, lies, sins. We've been acting in this terrible downward cycle of death, where we are hurt, we believe a lie about our identity or about the world or about our future or whatever it is, the lies of the devil, and then we act it out with addictions, with hurting other people, with living in a way that God never intended us to live. And then that causes more hurt, not just to us, but to other people. And often it started when we were little children and we had no part in it. You know, your parents may have said some terrible things to you. Other people, other children, other adults may have abused you. And this bruising caused us to believe a lie, caused us to sin, and now we're in this cycle. We need to say, Lord, I thank you for this healing and this bruising, but now I turn away from this. I'm not going to believe those lies. I'm going to get your truth about who I am, about who you are, God, about your plan for my life, that I am significant and accepted. I'm going to turn away from sin because it's not good for me. It's not the best way to live. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. Repent is the second step. Believe or receive, repent. And then the third step is to resist. We say, I now realize that there is an enemy. There is a devil who is at enmity with me. He hates me. He's a murderer from the beginning. He wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you may have abundant life. So we receive God's abundant life, and then we resist the devil. That means when he tempts you, you say no. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he simply just found a verse in the Bible, and he said, it is written, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, and him only shall you serve. You should not put your Lord God to the test. He quoted scripture, and if we can resist the devil and say, no, that's not the best. That lie you're giving me, that if I take this substance, all my problems will go away. That's a lie, you devil. And I believe God's word, that he has peace for me. If I follow his ancient paths and ways, I will find rest for my soul. All these different promises in his word, you resist the devil and you tell him to get lost. You know, I liken the devil to a naughty dog who knows he's not allowed to get on the settee in the lounge, but he keeps coming and trying to get on. And I need to keep telling him, get off, get off. You don't belong there. You're not allowed to lie on my couch. The devil is the same. He will have had a hold on you through bruises and lies and sins, and he will keep coming back to try and accuse you, to say you're rubbish, you're guilty, you don't have a future. That's just imagination, that you're dreaming you've been changed. And you need to say, no, I know God's word. I'm resisting, I'm fighting. If you believe, if you turn away, and if you resist, you will find over time amazing healing happens. But it is all encapsulated in what Jesus did on the cross. Let me read it to you again. He has borne our griefs or our sicknesses. He has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I now see that there is an enemy and that you have good plans for me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took my bruising and that you crushed the devil's head, that he has no more power over me anymore. I thank you for your forgiveness for my sins and for me believing his lies. And I thank you for your healing of my deep inner bruises and wounds. And I ask you, Lord, to let that healing fill my life, change me completely, renew my mind and my thinking and my feelings. And Lord, help me to change, to turn and walk your path and to resist the devil. I will do it, Lord, with your help. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, we have a website, leadinglightsnetwork.com. There's so much in there of helpful resources, but also we are available. We send you an email once a week if you want it, and we are available for you to ask us questions, to pray with you, to stand with you, to help you become fruitful in this new life that you have chosen. We love you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Please visit leadinglightsnetwork.com and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please consider supporting this ministry by making a donation on the giving page at leadinglightsnetwork.com or lighthousejersey.com.